And Warwick Hadfield joins us to talk sport. Warwick, hello there.
Hello there, Fran.
In football yesterday, Alan Stajic had his media conference. He was the former Matildas coach until he was dumped. The FFA responded with a media release. Do we have any better idea yet about why the coach was sacked? Because I still don't quite understand it.
You and a lot of other people, Fran, the mess created by Stajic is still largely unexplained and in many people's eyes, inexplicable sacking. Remembering the Matildas are ranked in the top six for the World Cup in June, it all just continues. The former coach held his tear-stained media conference. He was terminated without cause. He said the stain and strain on him and his family has been overpowering and he just wants to clear his name. The FFA, probably knowing that even a seasoned media performer like the CEO David Gallop made a mess of it the last time he tried to explain his organisation's actions in a public forum. He sounded like a salesman selling a product he didn't believe in. They issued a carefully worded media statement in which it disagreed with many of Stajic's assertions, but didn't say which ones, and maintained his sacking was in the best interests of the team, which is something the team doesn't necessarily agree with. Also yesterday, the FFA issued a media statement around that spark of joy for the sport more generally when it was announced that Thai authorities would release Hakeem Al-Arabi, the refugee footballer, as he's become known, Fran. And I know you're going to be having more on that story later this morning. As for the Stajic saga, there's going to be a lot more on that in the days and months to come. Whoever replaces Alan Stajic, and an appointment is apparently imminent, is on, well, a hiding to nothing. If the Matildas do well at the World Cup, well, it'll be down to everything that Stajic's done over the last decade and a resilient group of players. And if they don't do well, well, the FFA knows already who's going to get the blame for that. And no carefully worded media statement's going to stop it, Fran.
Yeah, well, you're right. Let's meantime, let's dwell on the good news on Hakeem, because I think everyone was so, it was so distressing seeing the sight of him in court the other week, brought out in shackles and leg irons. I mean, that was just horrific. So this is really great news. And we're hoping to speak with Craig Foster after 7:30. In tennis, meantime, Ashley Barty has taken Australia through to the group semi-finals of the Federation Cup.
Just when you thought the Ashley Barty story couldn't get any better, Fran, it just goes and leaps and bounds. Against the USA in front of an American hometown in North Carolina, she won both her singles matches. And then she paired with Priscilla Hahn to win the deciding doubles rubber. The Federation Cup captain, Alicia Molik, now went for Hahn, who is ranked well outside the best 100 on the planet, after a distraught Garia Gavrilova lost the fourth singles to Danielle Collins. Now, Hahn shone. Barty was her usual reliable self. And the pair, they won in straight sets, and Australia now plays Belarus in a group semi-final. It's Ashley Barty, we've had told this story so many times, not that long ago, 2 years ago, I think it was, she was outside the top 1,000 in the world. Now she can go anywhere in the world and win in front of a hometown crowd in such a way is just astonishing, Fran.
In cricket, Steve Smith and David Warner were absent from last night's Cricket Australia Awards dinner, but they might not be absent from the Australian team for much longer, it would seem.
Well, that's the way it's looking, Fran. Their tuxedos remained in the closet last night, but their coloured clothing could be back in use pretty soon. As speculation grows, they'll play for Australia in one day as against Pakistan in the Middle East on or about March the 29th. That's the day their ban for their part in the ball tampering scandal expires. There's this feeling that it would be wiser to reintroduce the pair in the lesser glare of this series and at the World Cup, which will be, of course, attended by the world's media. For those who did get into their tuxes, another finery last night, Elisa Healy won the lot. T20 Cricketer of the Year, One Day Cricketer of the Year, and then the Belinda Clark Medal, edging out those two usual suspects, Elise Perry and Meg Lanning, while Patrick Cummins continuing to grow into the player that Australia so desperately wants him to be, a champion fast bowler who can also bat a lot. He won the Alan Border Medal, Fran.
And in basketball, South Australian officials are doing everything they can to get a crowd for tomorrow night's WNBL Grand Final match between the Lightning and Canberra. They're even allowing club sides to forfeit their matches. What's wrong with people? Get along, get along. It's going to be fantastic.
Well, yes, but they've had crowds of as small as 100 in so far this season. Now, what Basketball South Australia is doing, they're going to waive the normal financial penalty for a forfeit, so long as the players get along to support the Lightning, who are one down in the best of three series after travelling to Canberra at the weekend with the assembled mass of Canberrans in support. The Caps won that game 88-67, making it a long way back and not just infrequent flyer points in tomorrow night's game. For the Lightning, but the likes of Rachel Sporn have come out urging their fellow Adelaideans to get along. There's a hope of a home crowd of around 5,000. Now that is up a fair bit on the previous crowds and hopefully that can help with the turnaround, Fran.
Well, I would hope so. That'd be a disgrace if there was only a few hundred people there. Warwick, thanks very much.
Good on you, Fran.
It's 24 minutes to 8 on Breakfast.